All right, welcome to Double Fries No Slaw. A little bit different Monday night, but we are here. We are live. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Thank you if you tried to tune in last night. We couldn't get it rolling, but we are back. We are good to go now. Fingers crossed. So what Richie and I have just actually learned, though, is that technology will get you like right when you don't expect it. Like it'll always kind of be right there for you. So anyway, we're at the mercy of this system, but technology, everything else. But hopefully you've had a good day. A lot of people off work today. Richie took a half day. I'm kind of always and never off, so I don't really know how to classify that. But my kids were off of school. My kids were off of school Friday for the fair, and then today for President's Day. So anyway, we'll talk about President's Day here in a moment. I'm sure that's why most of you tuned in. So Double Fries No Slaw, brought to you by Guthrie's, 1818 West Tennessee Street, 2550 North Monroe, and 2870 Appalachie Parkway. They're in Tallahassee. They've got other locations going up around the state that we'll tell you about. I just can't say any locations just yet, but stay tuned for that. Richie, how's your weekend been, or how was your weekend? Oh, you're muted again. See, I knew it. I knew that technology thing would get us. Still nothing. I'll tell you guys about my weekend. You might have to refresh if it bumped again. I'll tell you guys about my weekend. It rained the entire weekend, just like it probably did for you guys. If you're anywhere in the state of Florida, it probably just rained on you all weekend. And so today was kind of cool. Today was a lot nicer outside. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Again, I don't know what you guys did, but hopefully you had a good weekend. I took my kids to the softball game one day. Actually, I took them both days, Thursday and Friday last week. And that's not really a weekend, but anyway, I had a good time. So we got you back, Richie.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're good to go.
All right. So yeah, well, I was just saying it's funny, you know, President's Day is today, right? I grew up in St. Cloud, Florida, Osceola County, and we did not get President's Day off from school. We actually got that Friday off, and it was called Rodeo Day because at the Silver Spurs Arena, they have the largest rodeo east of the Mississippi and the Osceola County Fair. So I just thought that was hilarious. But yeah, cold, rainy weekend, didn't do much of anything. You know, tried to get on here and it had all sorts of disasters last night. But man, happy to be back here. Not a ton to go over, but some pretty meaty stuff, I think, you know, happening in the Florida State world. But yeah, just happy to be back here. You know, end of the show, we'll do some shout outs. So it hit a milestone this week and really excited about that too.
Yeah, let's roll with it. Favorite FSU president. Yeah, I mean, it's hard, man. President Thrasher was there just like during so much of like, you know, like the end, like when I think he was like really visible, you know. I don't know. I think FSU presidents are almost more visible now, like in the social media era, that like ADs as well, where like, you know, you knew who like ADs were, but you didn't really know who athletes, you know what I'm saying? Like they just weren't as, they weren't firing off tweets and, you know, you didn't see them at every single event, this, that, the other. So I don't know. Thrasher was there through so much that I guess it's hard for me not to say them. Obviously, I didn't go to FSU. So that's, I don't know. Who you got, Richie?
Yeah, man. Shout out President McCollum right now. You know, I just remember going to the LSU game up in New Orleans 2 years ago. And after the game, he was just walking around the lobby of the team hotel, shaking every Florida State fan hand and saying, thank you for coming. Thank you for the support. You know, he had a cocktail in hand. He was having a good time. Just had a blast. And he was awesome. You know, T.K. Weatherall was the president when I was at Florida State, and I thought he was a little too involved with athletics, but he kind of wanted it that way. To your point, talking about the AD president dynamic, you know, Randy Spetman was the AD who T.K. kind of just put there as a puppet, so to speak, and not really any real authority or power. But yeah, it's either T.K. or President McCollum right now. But I thought Thrasher did a great job while he was there, for the role he was played. You know, Florida State's been blessed to have a lot of good presidents. I don't really miss President Barron, to be honest. I'll just leave it at that.
even not only in politics, but even in the FSU world, we have hashtag not my president. So, all right, very good. Moving on from that, before who knows, we get canceled or something for making a joke. Let's talk about this. DJU got introduced to the media last week. I love, Richie, before we even go into that fully, I love that Norvell does the player availability, the player intros, when the guys are like brand new. It's not just the seasoned veterans. You know, I actually made a request for somebody else for some athletes, and some places do not let newcomers talk.
No.
Like they need to be like, and for obvious reasons, I'm not saying those are bad places. I'm just telling you, like, you get a 16, 17, 18 year old out there, or a transfer that comes in and they haven't done anything, you know, you're like, let's kind of get them polished up before we're doing anything. Let's make sure they're toting that company line. So I understand that reasoning, but it is cool that Norvell lets every single player that comes to this program say something, like talk with the media, express themselves, talk about why they picked FSU, why they said this, why they did this. I'm sure there's some training that goes on the back end of that. Like, hey, please don't say this, that, or the other. But I love that Norvell does that. I will say, I don't think there's usually a ton, like, we're not doing, like, reaction videos to every single newcomer that comes in, you know, the 25 recruits and the 7 or 12 transfers or whatever. Like, it is a slow time of year, but I guess I'm just not that desperate for a video. But we don't do reactions to every, but every once in a while you'll get some people that say stuff that's really good. Like Richie Leonard had some cheap shots at Florida. I thought that was really good. I liked hearing Luke and Cam and Charles Lester, some of your linchpins of the class, the core of your class, like really talk about what Florida State meant to them. And then DJU, big takeaway was that he, and I think you knew this from the recruitment, but like the fact that he was so laser focused on FSU, and that's all he wanted, and that's the only place he wanted to be, and he wasn't thinking about anything else. I thought that was special, and that's everything you want to hear from a quarterback. And, you know, Miami got Cam Ward down at, you know, down there, and I think he'll do a good job. I think he'll be a good quarterback. I'm not, you know, but I don't think he can say that. I don't think he can say, like, I was laser focused on one place and I only ever wanted to be one place, because I think that place was the NFL and they just told him you're not good enough to be drafted high, you know? So I like that that was DJU's mentality. So anyway, I'll shut up and either let you roll on that or take it a different direction. But that's kind of the way I looked at it.
Yeah. And it was an interesting dynamic, right? Because, you know, DJ and DJ's father, you know, has spoke on this as well, that they kind of knew it was a little awkward, right? Because they made it clear, like, you know, we want you, but we might want this guy more, you know, just based on ceiling in college. But DJ, he never wavered, right? He wanted to be at Florida State. He's come out and said that. His father said that as well. And just the respect he has for Mike Norvell and his history with quarterbacks, you know, DJ said straight up, I want to be developed by Mike Norvell and Tony Tokars to an extent. Just really cool that, you know, he was all in the maturity of him, right? It'd be easy if you're in his situation and you feel like you may not be the number one top choice, say, not, there's plenty of schools that will gladly take me as their top choice, but very mature, very professional. And the way he went about it, it was just a really cool recruitment, right? And to your point, TJ, Cam Ward, I don't think he was looking for the best fit. I think he was looking to get paid, whether that was the NFL or NIL, whatever that may look like. And I like the way Florida State's coaching staff handled it as well. They said, all right, listen, it's not going to happen here. We really like DJ as well. And he clearly wants to be here. And sometimes that's what's more important, right? The quarterback and the fit. And I think he's going to be a phenomenal fit for Florida State's offense. Just the patience he showed throughout the recruitment. Basically, the second he got that green light, he was all in. And I think he's already made a positive impact in that locker room, you know, with these, you know, off-season workouts that they do. And I think he's going to be a phenomenal ambassador for Florida State, much like Jordan Travis has been the past 2 years.
Yeah, I I think it's pretty telling, because you know how important the quarterback situation is. When you look at all of these top 15s, or well, I guess they're all top 25s, but when you look at where, like, play, you know, like where they're ranking the Noles right now, right? Looking up ahead to 2024, the Noles, who obviously lost a crap ton of talent. You know, we'll talk about this in a moment. You know, all of the combine invites and then more guys off of the team last year that are not going to the combine, but just the amount of talent the Noles lost, and for the narrative around them to still be, we think they're going to win the ACC. Like, if you watch anybody's, like, you know, and I know it's February, right? Like, I know, you know, last year it was like, hey, I think this might be the Noles year to, like, finally overtake Clemson. The narrative now is like, it's not like, ah, oh, they got Clemson one year. It's see if they can do it again. It's like this is FSU's ACC, and it's somebody else's to take away from them. Like, it wasn't like a one hit wonder. And you've got to have, there's got to be confidence in the quarterback for that to happen. Like, I've watched so many shows. My kids were homesick most of last week, so I literally stayed home and did nothing. I was sick a little bit, so I watched more last week than I think I've ever watched since, you know, we've started this. And I watched Barrett Salee's new show. Shout out to him for going out and doing something on his own. I watched Pate. I watched JD. And all of them, when talking about Florida State, was like, no, this is Florida State's. And then can Clemson take it back? Can Miami finally get over the hump? Can a surprise team jump in there and upset? You know, can like a Louisville or somebody make another run like that? So I think when you look at that, there's got to be a confidence. Like, those guys aren't saying that if they're not confident in DJU. They're not saying that if they don't think that he can kind of carry that torch and be that guy. And so, listen, I expect him to be really good this year. I expect him to take another step forward, like he did going from Clemson to Oregon State, and I expect him to be a really good QB. I don't necessarily know that we'll put the Heisman expectations on him like we have with Jordan, but I think I'll tell you this, if the Noles go 13-0 again under him, like, he's going to go to New York, you know, barring, you know, not, but just like I think Jordan would have been in New York had he, you know, been healthy, finished fourth, right, in the voting. So it's not like he was like way out of it or anything, even after the injury. What was he? Was he maybe fifth? Was he, I think he was fifth.
Fourth or fifth, right? Top five, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, I mean, you're any quarterback on any undefeated team, you know, then you're going to be pretty close. But yeah, I think it's pretty telling, right? Like, if there wasn't a confidence that Florida State was going to have a really good quarterback play this year, nobody would be picking him. You know, Vegas wouldn't have Florida State with the best odds in the ACC. Vegas wouldn't have Florida State's over under it, you know, 9.5, 10 games, you know, where they really expect them to be pretty good. And, you know, we all know that Florida State's toughest game is out of conference, right? So they're expecting Florida State to win maybe all but one ACC game or all of their ACC games based on their over-under. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's telling too, just about DJ in general.
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, I think he has a lot of respect. And looking what's happened at Clemson since he left, you know, Cade Klubnik was supposed to be the next Trevor Lawrence, so to speak. And he just hasn't delivered. And now it's more of, do we have coaching issues at Clemson, especially on the offensive side of the ball? That defense is still really freaking good. But yeah, that, like, it, maybe it wasn't a DJ thing. Maybe it was a system thing. And when you go from a Deshaun Watson to a Trevor Lawrence, like, that doesn't happen. It just doesn't. And that's what they did. And now, you know, DJ struggled there. Cade Klubnik has been struggling. There's questions. Is he even going to finish out the season? We'll see what happens. But yeah, I think going to Oregon State was probably the best thing that DJ could have done for his career. And coming to Florida State, hopefully he finishes it strong, because I'm looking forward to it. And I think he will have a really strong season. He's got a lot of good weapons. I think the offensive line is going to be better. And he's just going to, you know, he is set up for success coming to Florida State. And I think that's what he will have, is a lot of success this year.
Pivoting just a little bit into 12 FSU players, 12 Noles invited to the NFL Combine, 10 transfers, but 7 multi-year guys. I think I saw a stat that like 9 of the guys on the list were here multiple years, and then like 6 of them were here 3 years or more, right? That number, you know, I'd have to look through every single one of them, but obviously Jordan was here. Jordan Travis here 3 years, Trey Benson here 2 years, Keon a 1 year guy, Johnny Wilson, 2 year guy, Jaheim Bell 1 year, Braden Fisk 1 year, Fabian Lovett 3 years, Jared Verse 2, Bethune 2, Kalen was here his whole career, Renardo Green was recruited by us, right?
Yeah.
So all, you know, entire career. And then Jarian Jones, I think, was here 3 as well, 21, 22. And was he here 4 years?
Jarian Jones? I think it was 3.
I thought he was here in 2021. I could be wrong on that. But yeah, 3 or 4. So, you know, there's obviously the narrative around development and you know, certain programs, certain coaches try to use that. And yeah, I think in an ideal world, you would have loved to have guys in Mike Norvell's original class in 2020 that were here the whole time. Probably not realistic, considering that early signing day was days after he was hired. And then you're trying to scramble to put a class together after, you know, the previous coach had kind of run the thing into the ground. But what it does show is that guys that have been around since that time, like that long, like Kalen and Renato Green and others, like really truly can be developed. Akeem Dent, somebody that, you know, kind of thought might get a combine invite. Obviously he was here, committed. Shoot, I think he committed. I think he originally committed when Jimbo was here, and then stayed through, you know, 2 years of Taggart and 3 years of, or 4 years of, or, you know, all, he was here for all of Norvell because of the COVID year. But yeah, I mean, I think it shows that, like, hey, if you stay here multiple years, you will get developed and go to the NFL. I don't know where, like, somebody like Tatum Bethune is going to be drafted, but I do think that, you know, he's not drafted if he doesn't come here. Like, I don't really have a lot of questions around that. I mean, I tweeted this the other day. Trey Benson had 6 total carries before leaving
22 Oregon. Yards.
And and now has 20, you know, nearly 2,300 scrimmage yards and under Mike Norvell. And a lot of places have him as like running back 1 in the draft. And I know running backs don't go super high. I know it's not like a super elite running back class by any means. But I, you know, still, if you're kind of being talked about as a top 2, 3, 4, 5 running back, let alone number 1, I think it's pretty impressive. And then, you know, that obviously goes without saying, like Johnny Wilson, you know, was really struggling out there in Arizona State, didn't have a lot going for him. Jaheim Bell had really good numbers 2 years ago, struggled a little bit a year ago, and then obviously had a great year this year. Braden Fisk was a good player for Western Michigan, you know, but all of these players, you're sensing a theme, took their career to a completely different level, even if they were transfers. And, you know, Jordan Travis, I think, threw the ball, what, like 15 times or something, maybe less than that, maybe like had like 20 snaps or something like that in a Louisville uniform. And so, you know, the idea that he wasn't developed at Florida State is hilarious. So there's this narrative around development, and there's this narrative around the portal or whatever. I think it is funny to kind of see. It's funny to read. Guys that are in the draft right now obviously wouldn't have been, you know, when you look at how Florida State was recruiting when Mike Norvell first got here, I don't think it's a super big shock. But anyway, 12 guys going to the combine. Richie, I think you could see 10 or 11 guys drafted, and I don't even think you'd be very surprised by that.
Yeah, and to your point, think of when these players left their original school. Jordan Travis, 0 NFL prospects. Trey Benson, 0 NFL prospects. Keon, he would have been drafted, let's be honest. Yeah. Johnny, no. No one wanted Johnny outside of Florida State. Jaheim Bell, he's just a freak. Braden Fisk, he had something to prove when he came here. Fabian Lovett, probably not drafted if he, you know, left Mississippi State when he did. Jared Verse was going to get drafted. He's just a freak of nature. But Tatum, no. Obviously, you know, Caleb, we said, and Renardo both signed with Florida State. And Jerrion Jones, Florida State fans did not like him his first year and a half or so, and he was developed. So, yeah, the Florida State definitely proved to develop all of these guys. Again, Keon and Jared are the only two guaranteed draft picks if they don't come to Florida State. I think Jared could have spent 4 years at Albany and still got drafted. He's just that much of a freak. And Keon Coleman, just an extreme athlete. You know, it's funny. He wanted to make basketball his number one sport coming out of high school. If he was fully focused on football from day one, he might be, you know, wide receiver 1 or 2 off the board and still might be a top 3 pick at his position. But yeah, it's just really cool to see that, you know, we're back to a point where Florida State is churning out NFL players. And, you know, Mike Norvell and his staff can take credit for a lot of them. Again, I'll give you Keon, I'll give you Jared. Everybody else, that they were developed in Tallahassee, and they will say as much. And even Keon and Jared would say as much, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, Jared has talked about, you know, I think Jared had all the tools, but I also think that, you know, Jared also realized that, like, he got bigger, faster, stronger. He said that, you know, when he got to Tallahassee, he's never found, like, this version of himself. And that's, you know, I'm not about to sit here and take shots at Albany, but, I think when you get to a little bit better program, when you get around some better coaching, as much crap as we'll give some coaches for recruiting, like, they do a great job developing on that defensive line. And so I don't think it's a surprise that you would see him become such a freak. You know, I don't know that he's a top. I think he gets drafted, but I don't know that he's top 15. At, you know, if he's all 4 years in Albany, you know, like maybe he is, but I, you know, because I think even last year, you know, you were talking about a late first round pick, maybe early second. So he certainly improved his stock. I mean, there's nobody that came here and didn't improve, you know, where they'd be drafted, right? Like Keon and Jared were going to get drafted either way. I get it. But were they, you know, were they going to make the money that they made by sticking around Florida State either for the extra year or just coming in general? So yeah, the combine will be fun to watch. You know, pro day will be crazy. Like, you remember, you know, you haven't really cared the last few years, but you remember how fun pro day used to be with all those, you know, all that talent that was around, like, you know, everything from, you know, Jameis to Devontae to Telvin and all those guys that were playing. And then through the years, right? Like it feels like it's tapered off because you don't usually have 10 guys going to the draft every year. But even before that, right? Like, you know, EJ Manuel's year, you were talking about Clemson a minute ago, and I thought about like the string of quarterbacks that you had going, you know, first round overall every single year. Remember Clemson did that with
EJ Jameis. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of fun to see again. And it just makes you relevant, right? Like it makes you, yeah, that's your brand getting called out over and over and over again at the combine on draft night, throughout the weekend of the draft. And then ultimately in the NFL, right? When Monday Night Football happens and they're saying your players' names, like you're going to add a pretty good crop of guys, to that list. So
one of my favorite pro days was Jalen Ramsey's. There was just so much buzz around that. He shows up decked out in Jordan brand gear from head to toe and just put on a show. It feels like we're getting back to that, to where you're going to have representatives from all 32 NFL teams at Florida State's pro day this year. And that's even been the case when Florida State's had their down years, but you're going to have high ranking people from these organizations in the NFL, not just a scout from the Southeast. You're going to have general managers, high-ranking officials from all these teams at Florida State's Pro Day this year. And it's just cool to be back to that. And I don't see that slowing up anytime soon.
Yeah. I don't know that you're going to put 10 next year, but I think you're going to continue to see that talent go up. We could do, like, off the top of your head, who, you know, you're thinking about, like, guys for next year. Like who could be that guy? Well, if anybody steps up at wide receiver one, right? Like if Kentron was to go off or something like that, you've got other guys along the defensive line. You know, Pat Payton, Daryl Jackson, Farmer, Josh Farmer are all going to be considered there. Azariah Thomas, like an absolute, you know, that's actually a good transition. But Azariah Thomas, somebody that you could see really kind of take that leap. You know, DJ Lundy. You know, I think he needs to get a little bit quicker, a little bit better against the pass, but man, could he really shine? Could you have an offensive lineman or two breakthrough? Like Darius Washington's had a really good career. Rob Scott's kind of a freak.
Yeah.
Rob Scott. If they can stay, you know, kind of healthy, where does that end up for next year too? And then the big one, DJ Uiagalelei, right? Like what can that end up looking like? Some of these transfers, Murphy, Malik Benson, you know, Royce, you know, like the running back, I think there's some
Jordan Williams. Yeah.
Yeah. So, what's my guy, TJ Ferguson out of Bama. You know, like what can some of these guys truly look like after
Kyle Morlock
a year or two? Yeah. So there's a lot there that, you know, kind of to be determined, along really all positions at Florida State right now. So, all right, let's move on. You talked to, we mentioned this briefly last night, but let's try and get a little bit better with it tonight. You talked to Rohan Law on Friday night. You guys did a Spaces on the FSU versus ACC legal battles. If you're watching this and you haven't seen our updates with Rohan Law, there is a playlist on the channel. It's just FSU versus the ACC, and it has every video that he and I have done, and it might have one extra one as well that just kind of fits that as well. But most of the videos are from him. He's done a really good job of going like step by step on all of this. I saw you guys did a Spaces. So again, if you haven't watched that yet, maybe go watch this after this live, or if you're watching the shorter clip, go watch that and then come back to this one. But the ACC filed a motion to stay, a motion to dismiss in the state of Florida. Not super shocking, as Florida State did that last week. Doug and I talked about that on here. This one kind of mirrors the Florida State one. Very, very high overarching thoughts. Like this is not a surprise. It's pretty standard. Doug made this comment on the last video he did with us. When I asked him about why this was being done, he said, look, you love to try to win a football game at the coin toss if you can. And that's what these both sides are doing. it's very unlikely that either side is going to. But if you ever walked out for a kickoff, you know, a coin toss, and the officials said, hey, you know what, you win, you would take that. You would take that all day. And so that's what both sides are trying to do here early. Don't know that anybody's going to just win like that. But some things could be set up. Some precedent could be set. Some jurisdiction could be set. And so what was your big takeaway? And then I'll kind of drill down into some of it. But what was your big takeaway talking with Doug on Friday night?
Yeah, I think he made it clear that, you know, the ACC does have some strong arguments. But overall, I think Florida State is, you know, the leader in the clubhouse, so to speak. I think, you know, and I hate to give the guy credit, you know, it's the worst person you know makes a good point. But Matt Baker, you know, he dug through all of this down with the Tampa Bay Times and found this from the ACC. It said a court filing from the ACC on Friday said if FSU wishes to regain control of the rights before the end of the term, it could attempt to repurchase them. But having to buy back a right which was assigned is not a penalty. It's simply a commercial possibility. That basically is telling me the ACC is ready to negotiate. They're at least leaving that on the table. And I think Doug kind of hinted at that as well. And it may be going quicker than we thought, because the fact that they would put that in a legal filing that is visible to everybody, that North Carolina, that Clemson can all see, they're basically saying that, we know Florida State's gone, and this is my opinion. No law degree, no nothing, but just reading between the lines. They basically are saying Florida State's gone. Let's get as much as we can from them, even if we know it won't be everything. And they probably don't want this to go to trial because the risk far outweighs the reward, really, for Florida State and the ACC. The most sensical thing is for these two to get in a room, settle, sign an NDA, and the ACC can try to stay afloat, and Florida State moves on to wherever they're going to move to.
So, I mean, I feel like I have like 15 thoughts on that whole thing. So I'll try and go in order, but I'll probably forget a couple of things. But the big thing to me is I think Florida State, you know, we talked about this just briefly last night, but I think Florida State kind of is the first one to have come up with this, but it was interesting that the ACC kind of agreed with it. Like, I don't think it's necessarily new news that Florida State can buy their way out of the ACC, because Florida State alleged that back on December 23rd when they had the Board of Trustees meeting. They said, we're going to need about $571 million to get out of this conference. Like, that's what that number was. And so that's not necessarily new news, but it is the ACC agreeing with, I don't know if they agree with that number specifically, like a number wasn't listed, but it is at least the ACC agreeing with that logic. Like, yeah, you can leave, but it's going to cost you a heck of a lot of money. Obviously, Florida State's entire case is built on the fact that, well, you know, there are several points, but Florida State has a large portion of their case built on the fact that you can't have unreasonable penalties in the contract. And they're saying, hey, this number, this $571 million or whatever it ends up being, that's a penalty. And in Florida, you just can't have that. And so that's, you know, Florida State's kind of take is, hey, if that is a penalty, if that's liquidated damages, then we get out for nothing. And the ACC saying that's not a penalty. That's a, what was the word specifically? A contractual, they didn't call it a penalty. They called it something else.
Yeah. They said, it's simply a commercial possibility.
I don't know what that means. I've never heard that before in my life. I'm not a lawyer. I don't, you know, Doug would give it, you know, next time we get Doug on, I'll ask him, I'll drill down on that phrase specifically. A commercial possibility. I don't really know what that means, but, you know, to think that that's not a penalty is absurd. To think that that's not, like, yeah, you can break your rent, but we, you know, the first and last month that you paid and the $1,000 security deposit, those aren't penalties. That's a commercial possibility. Like, so I'd love for a landlord to say that.
I will direct people to Andy Staples had a really good piece today on Three, friend of the show. You know, he touched on that specific language, and go check that out if you get a chance. We could do another hour and a half on this alone, but Andy did a great job breaking it down.
So the other thing that kind of stood out to me on this that you talked about at the very end is like the idea of, you know, what both sides have to kind of lose. And I think you're spot on there. Like Florida, I think that the ACC is hurt like Florida State's expecting to pay something, right? Yeah. And so if say that's $250 million, so that's $300 million, whatever the number is, right? And that's what they end up settling on. Like they get something and Florida State pays that off over who knows how many years, right? Like they may negotiate it to be a 30-year payment, you know, or a 20-year, who knows, right? Like who knows what like they would end up negotiating with the ACC. I can't imagine it would be a situation where they'd have to pay it up front, right? If you're negotiating, you're going to put terms on any contract, or you just private equity the whole thing and then pay the private equity back over 30 years, you know, whatever. Like you try and figure that out one way or the other. But the ACC, to me, the ACC has more to lose because yes. Florida State's going to pay somewhere between zero and $571 million. And whatever that number is, right? If it's all the way up to 571 or zero, it doesn't matter. But what's going to happen for the ACC is that if Florida State was to somehow get out for zero, then Clemson's going to get out for zero. Yeah. And then North Carolina's going to get out for zero. And then Miami's going to get out for zero. And then Virginia's going to get out for zero. And so to me, it's, you know, yeah, Florida State doesn't want to pay $500 million. Like, I get that. But the ACC has to settle because they can't risk Florida State being a $0 check and then everyone else being a $0 check as well. And then the last thing that I thought about when you said that is I wonder, now, there are always, like, different guidelines and laws and rules and regulations, but I do wonder what the actual rules around a NDA are because of sunshine laws and because of Florida State being a public entity. And can you truly NDA it? Can you truly do that as a public entity? That's essentially why sunshine laws exist. Now, that, all that said, somebody will be in the comments and somebody will correct me or try to correct, you know, so I'll back it up a little bit. There are ways around it. Like there are ways that within contract negotiations, within legal settlements, you are allowed to NDA some things. I just don't know what they are. I don't know, you know, obviously I'm not an attorney. I don't know the state law like that. But there are ways that that can be done. I just don't know exactly how that works right now. And so I'm not going to pretend to speculate. If somebody's an expert in Florida state law or Florida entity contract law, like more than happy to hit my DMs or hit the comments. But that would intrigue me as well. How could you truly NDA it? When not, part of the battle too, part of the battle is Florida State wants all this out in the air because they're not just going for themselves to get out. They're wanting to end this thing and play a little, you know, burn some bridges as they go.
Yeah. And it'd be interesting if, you know, you could settle this thing in Florida, but then could you sign an NDA in a North Carolina court? And would that protect the NDA? I don't know. These are way above my pay grade, but yeah, to your point, I think, you know, the most recent amendment where Florida State just started naming names like Swofford, went after his kid, all this stuff. I think Florida State's just, we're done here, right? We don't care how many bridges we burn because there's no going back anymore. It's just not. And I think they would want to open the door for Clemson, North Carolina, Virginia, potentially Miami to follow them out of the ACC. I just think the ACC it's almost a dead conference walking at this point. It's just a matter of when. And, you know, they're going to be basically a group of five, you know, a Conference USA, whatever it may be. We'll see what happens. But I think we are well past the point of no return right now.
Yeah, they've certainly burned the bridges. As far as signing a contract, you know, signing an NDA in North Carolina, I don't think location matters. I think because, you know, it's still a state entity doing a deal with another state or another into, so I don't think that would matter. Again, I think it'd come down to like if there are certain exceptions for contract settlements and stuff. James asks, are we relatively sure it's the Big Ten that we're going to? James, thanks for the love. Thanks for the super chat. Yeah, I don't know. Richie, I would lean the Big Ten. I think that there's been a lot of bridges burned with the SEC. I think there's been a lot of bridges burned with you know, I think that Florida State would want the more money and everything else, but I'm just telling you, when you get out of this conference and you're negotiating with both sides, you're listening to as much as you all hate the SEC and you guys want to burn that. I'm just telling you, like, I think it ends up being the Big Ten. I don't think Florida State's just going to turn their back on the SEC and say, we don't want to hear from you because, I mean, you could be up, you know, whatever creek without a paddle at that point. I almost slept. But so, yeah, I think it's the Big Ten, but I wouldn't say it's like a foregone conclusion. If the SEC comes in and wants to play a little defense, then that might be where you end up.
Yeah. And with this, you know, partnership or whatever the Big Ten and SEC have going on right now, governance body, whatever it may be. You know, it in the end of the day, you know, there's been some hurt feelings, but whether it be ESPN, the SEC, Florida State, it doesn't matter. They're going to do what makes the most sense business wise. And I do lean towards the Big Ten, but I don't think the SEC, I don't think that door is shut, because the ESPN and the SEC are going to look and say, hey, you know what, Florida State brings a lot of value, and the SEC is incentivized to keep the Big Ten out of the state of Florida. Because if you let the Big Ten come plant their flag in the state of Florida, and now they're literally from the Pacific to the Atlantic and in the state of Florida, the SEC is not going to want that. And I do think they are smart enough. Their business acumen is high enough that they will not just surrender that. But I do think the Big Ten would love to say, yeah, we just got the state of Florida. And not only did we get the state of Florida, we got the most dominant national brand in the state over the Florida Gators. It's just a fact, guys. Look at the numbers. It's not trolling. It's not making things up. Florida State is a national brand, and that would undercut the SEC to the point where I think the SEC would come up Florida State and say, listen, we want you in the SEC. So I don't know what's going to happen, how it works out, but I do think things are going to play out quicker than I originally thought they would.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if this is done before the season starts. So, you know, that August timeframe for Florida State to be able to announce that, you know, they're leaving, you know, before 2025 is kind of where I'm settled right now. We'll see what ends up happening with it, but that's kind of what I'm thinking as far as the timeline. Is that what you like before August, like around that August deadline, somewhere in there, summertime?
I think we'll, I don't know if anything will be official, but I do feel like we'll have a good idea of what this is looking like, because again, the ACC, they need to move quick too. If they want to try and salvage this conference in any way, I think they fully understand Florida State is not a part of the future of this conference, and they need to figure out what they're going to do and what their moves are. But I think by the end of the calendar year, we'll have a much better idea one way or the other.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let me get some love to Garnet and Gold. GarnetandGold.com. Make sure that you're shopping there for all of your FSU gear. You can use code NOSLAW, N-O-S-L-A-W. I was up there, not this weekend that just passed, but the weekend before, stopped in. I got the 11 shirt. Also got a really nice Nike shirt that was on sale. I'm big on the, dude, when I was back in the day, I used to get all the, I'd have like all of the brand new coaches pull it. Now I'm just old. And so like, I'll see something for like 2 or 3 years ago that's on sale on clearance. And I'm like, yep, that's me. Like I didn't see that when it came out. So I'm all over it. So, yeah, GarnetandGold.com. Use code NOSLAW, N-O-S-L-A-W. If you do in-store pickup, you save on shipping. I think if your order is $75 or more, you also save on shipping. Shouldn't be shopping anywhere else for FSU apparel. They got a bunch of softball and baseball stuff in right now, so check them out, GarnetandGold.com. Let's do this, Richie. Breakout candidates for 2024. I'm sorry, 2025. I'm not even the right year, so let's get that right. But breakout candidates for 2025. You want to go first here? We've got ours from, we both got two on offense, two on defense. What you like here?
I'll let you start it off here, because I got to remember who I even said.
I think you put it in the text yesterday. I might just start this whole segment over because I messed up the, listen, this is the power of live radio, but I messed up the thing. All right, breakout candidates 2025. Here, I'll give you my first one on offense. I think Hakeem Williams kind of goes off this year. That's who I really like on offense. I think that just athletically he's there. I think the injury set him back a little bit last year. I think that was frustrating for not only him but also the fan base, because you've got a five-star and you're like, hey, let's roll. I think he puts it together. And I don't know, man. Somebody asked me how I feel about our wide receiver room the other day, and I just said, man, I think there's so much talent there. I think it's just about who steps up. Like, can Kentron start being healthy, you know, for like the whole year? Can Destin be healthy for the whole year? Can Hakeem be healthy for the whole year? Because you knew Keon was going to be your guy last year, and you knew when Keon was banged up, you knew Johnny would be there for you. You knew you could rely on some different pieces, but how do those pieces work together? How does Jaylen Brown fit into that? So I don't know. If we got to pick one, I'm going to go with Hakeem Williams. I think that, you know, he still feels so young to me, you know, and obviously he is, right? Like, he, you know, just played 1 year. He's a true sophomore. So I would lean that direction, but my first one and mine on offense is I'm going to go with Hakeem Williams to kind of break out this year. And I get it. That's not a super like, oh, wow, you picked a former five-star. Like, well, good job, TJ. Like, you really went off there. But, like, I don't know. I think that when you look at the talent in that room, I think that it is pretty – it's kind of close. Like, everything from Destin Hill all the way to, you know, Kentron to other guys there – That's the pick that, you know, Jaylen Brown and Hakeem. I think that that's the pick. I think that it's Hakeem Williams stepping up and doing it. Somebody's going to have to emerge as wide receiver one, and we're not to spring yet. So maybe this is a hot take, and maybe he doesn't emerge as wide receiver one. But I think that if I've got to go anywhere, I think I'm going with Hakeem Williams breaking out. So that's my offensive one. Where are you at?
So you stole my number one because I'm looking at the list of four guys you gave me. I had Hakeem.
Oh, whoops. But sorry. I'm
going to steal one of yours. I'll say Destin Hill. I think, you know, he is a growing man. You know, he is ready to have, in my opinion, a breakout season. And to your point, TJ, this wide receiver room is loaded with potential. There's not a ton of proven production. But when you look at just what could possibly be, whether you're looking at these transfers from Alabama, LSU, who you already have with Destin and Hakeem, there is just a ton of talent in this room. And, you know, if it's not Hakeem, I'll take Destin, and then I'll go bring it inside a little bit. I mentioned him earlier, Kyle Morlock, for me. I truly think he is poised for a breakout season. Shout out his dad, a big fan of the pod. It comes to all our tailgates. But, yeah, I think Kyle Morlock, with the way Mike Norvell loves to use his tight ends, you know, the room is there now, you know, with Jaheim Bell moving on. My two on offense, I'll say Destin and Kyle Morlock.
All right, I'll finish out on offense, then we can go to defense too. But, yeah, shout out the Morlock family. They all were in Charlotte. I mean, you know, his dad was there. I saw his mom there. They invited some friends, and some people walked up that I didn't really recognize and didn't really know. And I was like, hey, you know, you have tickets or whatever. And they were like, no, we're just here to see the Morlocks. And I was like, oh, if you're with the Morlocks, like, you're good to go then. Come on in. So like they had some friends. His sister is always there. She's always super sweet. Her husband, they bring a crew. And so big shout out to the Morlocks. They roll deep. Always. I'm sorry.
They roll deep.
Yeah. They're awesome though. Like I love them coming, like, cause it's so cool to kind of get, I mean, you know, I mean, obviously our tailgates just have everything from, you know, drunk idiots like me and Richie to, you know, actual like players' families. And I love getting their perspective on just like what's going on. And I think Michaela was out there too. And so like we were all just kind of talking, and it's cool to like hear their perspective, which is just obviously so different. So big shout out to the Morlock family. Offense, again, I know I'm not breaking. I know I'm not being like super controversial here, but I don't think it's like to start the year. But I mean, I think Cam Davis goes off. Yeah. Like, I think Cam Davis is going to be just an absolute monster.
That's a grown man.
And I know that I'm not necessarily like, oh, wow, again, you're picking another guy that was like a five-star at one point last year before he got hurt. You know, I get it. But I just think he takes the reins. I'm excited about, you know, the Alabama transfer. I'm excited about Toa Fili coming back. I think there's a lot of talent in that room. But I don't know. It's hard for me to not look at like what Cam Davis can do physically and not pick him. It's hard to just look at that and be like, oh yeah. I don't, you know, I think it's later in the year. You know, Dalvin didn't get going until Louisville. I think that was like game six or so, five or six, halfway through the year or so. He was backing up Carlos Williams. You remember Carlos had the walk-off touchdown against Clemson early. I think that was game three. But yeah, I think Cam Davis, I think he goes nuts. I think he has a really good freshman season. And then I think he plays two more years and goes to the NFL. Like, I mean, you don't get him for 4 years, in my opinion. You know, maybe with the Battle Zen Bucks being spent, maybe. But like, I think, you know, running backs, light tread, Florida State's going to recruit that position really, really well. I think he's somebody who steps in and makes an impact year one. I think, you know, if there was one player I said I was confident in making an impact year one, I mean, I think it'd be him. I think, you know, Lester might get some burn. You know, I'm not saying he won't, but you know, I don't expect Luke to play a lot or anything. I don't know how many other year one guys I really expect to get in and mix it up too much. If I'm missing somebody that's like a glaring hole there, let me know. But yeah, I think Cam Davis is your best chance to get in and really make a big difference as a true freshman. And you know, I know I'm putting lofty expectations on him, mission him with Dalvin there, but you know, I think he can be really, really good for the Noles this year.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he's, you know, he's built like ready to be a day one starter in, you know, any conference in college football. I think Cam Davis is a great pick. Moving to the defensive side of the ball, and again, this, we're not just taking the cheap, easy ones, but who we really think. But for me, I'm going to start with Marvin Jones Jr. I just think,
ooh, I like it.
You know, he's a guy that didn't do a ton at Georgia. He did start in the SEC title game. So I'm sorry, if you are starting for Georgia in the SEC championship game, you got something. You're working with something right there. So that'll be my first pick.
He's the only reason they kept it close, in my opinion. And obviously, how good of a feel good story would that be if he really truly is the one to break out?
Man, just the thoughts. If this defensive line meets its potential, you have Pat Payton, Marvin Jones, Farmer, and Jackson. All those four, if they meet their expectations or their full potential. Yeah. That's an argument for a top three defensive line in the country. And I do think Marvin Jones Jr. just finds some magic at Tallahassee. He's not going to be his dad who finished fourth in the Heisman voting, but he is going to make some noise in the ACC this year. So that'll be my first one on defense.
I think he's already kind of broken out, but I think he becomes a, you know, there's different levels of like breaking out, right? Like the, what we kind of expect.
I'm talking first team all conference.
Yeah. What we expect from different guys, you know, different breakout, but I'll say this, I think Azrae Thomas becomes a household name. I think he absolutely has that, you know, people always say that, like he has that dog in him, right? Like he could be that guy to really, really be special and really, really, you know, like lockdown. There's going to be some openings. There's going to be some opportunities out there at corner. You'd think that your starters are going to be he and Fintrell after Green and Jones go to the league. And I think he could absolutely, you know, like the way that Jerry and Jones took that leap and the way that Renardo took that leap and they were just absolute great corners. I think that could certainly be what's in store for Thomas. I love the way he plays. I love his aggressiveness. I love his athleticism. I love his mentality. He took over the Battle Zen's Instagram a couple of days ago, and I thought he was funny. I thought he was focused on it, on what he needed to be focused on, doing like devotions and different things like that. I like him as a person. I like him as a player. I like how he, you know, comes off as kind of soft spoken, and then he gets out on the field and he is ready to just absolutely go to war. I think Azrae Thomas is kind of my first defensive pick, and I think he's going to go from, you know, a solid player to, you know, I don't think he's back in 2025. Again, now with Ingram, maybe we're doing some work in the retention department, maybe, but I think he plays his way out of Tallahassee. Like I think he's in the NFL in 2025. Like I don't think he's back for another season. I'd love to be wrong on that. I'd love to get him for 2 years, but. Yeah, there's my bold take at this point.
I think, you know, even when he signed, a lot of us thought, man, this guy is, he could be have the highest NFL potential in the entire class. Just a really good player, ton of potential. And with Pat Surtain now, you know, with coaching him up, I think there's a really good chance that's a great pick, TJ. I just really like that. And I'm also going to go in the secondary with my last one, Conrad Hussey. I think he flashed a lot as a freshman this year. And, you know, with that more experience, he's going to have another spring, another fall camp, this ability at his coaching position. I just think he's a guy that, again, I don't know if he'll be first team all ACC, but I do think he will make an all ACC team at safety this year.
I like that pick. Also, if there's one guy on the team that I don't want to get hit by right now, it's Conrad Hussey. Like, obviously, the defensive lineman or Cam Davis, honestly, shoulder pad. But on defense, you know, like, yeah, save me from all of that trauma. I'll go Justin Crier. Led the team in tackles against Georgia. You know, really kind of came on, started playing a lot more toward the latter end of the year, and then showed that, like, hey, man, my effort's not going to be down just because we're about to get our heads beat in and get whipped by Georgia. And we certainly did, right? And that's fine. But I really like that kid. I'm hoping he can make that leap. Big body, big kid. Linebacker room wide open. You know, I don't. And you're trying to pick guys. I'm not saying he's gonna be our best linebacker, but obviously I'm not gonna pick Lundy because I feel like he's already that guy. I'm not gonna pick, you know, Murphy from Alabama. You know, I feel like, you know, we need to see something there. But somebody that I've seen and think can kind of make that leap, I think Kreyer could be that guy at the linebacker position. Almost like when DJ started, like Lundy started to kind of emerge in 2022, right? He wasn't amazing. He wasn't great. He made some mistakes. He was a liability sometimes in coverage. But he really provided that solid, solid option for you past Deloach and Bethune to where you were really excited about him getting him in 2023. And then you were like worried about him being gone when he like had a mini vacation to Boulder for a couple of weeks. And so like, yeah, I think that was, that's a big one for me is if they can get some good play out of another linebacker, you know, kind of what you're going to get out of Lundy. You think Murphy's going to be pretty similar to Lundy. Maybe a little bit quicker, maybe a little bit more athletic, still not a great, you know, kind of covers linebacker. But if you can get something out of Kreyer too, I think that would be a good player to break out. I'm not projecting him to, you know, be all ACC or anything like that, but just to be your third really solid linebacker. And then obviously you'd like to see more out of, hey, I'd like to see Blake in there some. I'd like to see Omar and see everybody raise their game, but Kreyer's kind of my pick there. So, all right, let's do this, and then we'll go around the horn and get out of here, Richie. But I messed up the writing on this one too. It's also 2025 because I can't remember what year we're in. But recruiting expectations for FSU in 2025. Florida State finished with around a top 10 class based on the service you're looking at, the metrics you're looking at. If you add in transfers, they're maybe closer to like 7 or 8, 6 in some places. Some sites do add in transfers. So an improvement over last year. Last year, they were about a 20th ranked class, and they ended up finishing around the number 15 with the transfers, maybe a little higher some places. This year, an improvement. Still not where I think Florida State fans wanted to be. Obviously, if you spend the bulk of the year in the top 5 or so, when you drop back down to the top 10 or 11, you're going to be a little bit let down by that. I get it. If you think that's bad, go look at Florida fans who spent all year at number 3 and then fell into like the top 15-ish, 16, somewhere around there. So it does get worse. But when you're winning 13 games, you'd think you could recruit a little bit better than 10 or 11. Richie, what are your expectations for recruiting in the 2025 cycle?
I mean, bare minimum, you have to be top 10, like in high school. I think the staff does a great job in the portal, but you need to be signing bare minimum top 10 high school classes every year. And, you know, you'd be pushing that top 5. And it looked like heading into signing day, Florida State could have been there. You know, things did not go well on signing day, and which has become a trend, unfortunately, for Florida State. Certain position groups have not been recruited as well, and it's certainly not closed as well. But, you know, I'm fine with 6-7. Like, I can't keep doing 11, 12, 14 of high school ranks. I need to see more. And now that you have the product to sell, you clearly have a very good NIL program in place with the Battle's End. You have to do better. In specific positions, linebacker, Randy Shannon, I need you to step up. Defensive end, we've not closed well. So these are positions. We talk about rich people problems, right? That's kind of what we're at right now, where we're complaining about an 11 or 12th ranked class. But those are some of the ones I need to see improve this year. And I think they can. I think they will. But we'll see how it plays out. But, yeah, you want to see continued improvement. You want to see the improvement Mike has made in the win-loss column, going from 3 to 5 to 10 to 13 wins. Let's get that in our high school recruiting and continue to do what we need to do in the portal. But I'd love for us to get to a point where the portal, you know, we take in 10 guys instead of 20.
So right now, Florida State does have a 4-star edge prospect committed with Javion Hilson. We've also got a 3-star linebacker in Ethan Pritchard committed. See if he could rise a little bit or not. I don't know if he could rise enough to get all the way up to 4-star status, blue chip status, but they do have a linebacker committed. He does have some okay size, 6'1", 200. But can they continue to improve on that? They're in the running for some other edge prospects. They've got a good board this year. Ethan Pritchard, I will say this, he is a four-star on three, right around that top 300. When you look at their industry rankings, he's top 250 on their website. So yeah, you can consider that a blue chip when you're top four by one of the major sites. So a blue chip linebacker, a blue chip defensive end, both a good start, right? You're not there yet. You need to sign them. You need to continue. You probably need, like, you know, you had two blue chip defensive ends this year, in Amari Williams, who's a reclass. I don't know if you count that all the way, but Amari Williams and Dede Holmes, no blue chip linebackers. I think you need two or three defensive ends this year. Obviously, you'd like to have a four or five star at each one of those two or three. And then I think you need, I think you need to restock the linebacker room. I think you need to really start building that out. And I think you could take two or three linebackers. And again, you'd hope that they're all kind of the blue chip variety. I think they also, Richie, need to do, you know, again, not trying to harp so much on last year, right? Like, have moved on from a lot of things, and I've had a lot of wounds healed up over the last month from everybody, right? Like the playoff committee, from the ACC, from our own recruiting and everything else. But I think you need to land, like, you need to finish. You need to land your stars. They went 0-for-4 on signing day with their big stars, KJ Bolden, Armando Blunt, Jeremiah Smith, and LJ McCray. Any and all of those guys would have been the top guy in your class, would have been the number one signee in your class. And to go 0-for-4 there, that's nothing against your next ranked guys of Luke and Cam and Lester and Thomas and whoever, you know, you signed, Elijah Moore. But you need to finish. And that's something that I don't even care. It's something that has continued to be a theme, and it's something that you've got to find a way to get over. And hopefully they can this year. Hopefully this year is kind of the year that they put it on. They've got a five-star offensive lineman committed that everybody in the country wants. Georgia, Florida, Miami, everybody wants. Can they finish there? Can they continue to keep it closed down, locked down? Can Atkins get his guy and pull him in? And then can they go out and get a, you know, five-star wide receiver, Jamie French, who plays with your quarterback commit right now, and Tramiel Jones? Can they go out and land some of the other talent, Chroma? Can they get Henderson, who looks like they're trending for it, running back right now? And so can they finish? Can they recruit certain positions a little bit better? To me, that's the big question. And then, I don't want to argue on this. I agree with you. Top 10 is the bare minimum, but if you want to compete for championships, you got to start being in the top five. Like, that just is what it is. You're not going to have the luxury of getting to skate through an easy freaking baby ACC anymore. Like, you're just not going to have that luxury anymore. Like, that's going away. Like, probably in like a year. I think you're out in 2025. And so you're not going to be able to skate through a sorry, crappy ACC with your top 15, top 10 recruiting. If you want to win titles, you need to be up around that top five area. Now, you're going to get in the 12-team playoff recruiting in the top 10. You're going to have a shot, but are your trenches ever going to beat Ohio State? Are they ever going to beat Georgia? Are they ever going to beat Alabama? I think it's going to be tough. And so, yeah, top 10's bare minimum, but I think until you're knocking on the door of the top five, I think you're probably going to drop more games than you want to those top five teams. So, yeah, expectation for me is it needs to be darn close to top five. Like, it needs to be really close to top five for me. Now, you finish 6 or 7. Obviously, the number itself, like, doesn't matter so much because of how many kids you can take, how many kids another program takes, actual need, fit, all those things. But if you're not knocking on that door around top five, I think you got some hard questions you got to try and answer, and you may have to move on from some guys. But I thought you should have moved on from some guys last year. So what do I know? All right, let's wrap it up there. Let's go around the horn and get out of here real quick. Baseball 2-0 this week. They had a really good weekend, swept their series. Softball struggled a little bit, had a good win against Stanford, a 4-0 win, but then got hit up pretty good, looking for some answers on the softball diamond, especially in the circle. Pitching, which it maybe isn't a super big shock losing Sandercock, but pitching struggling over there a little bit. Richie, Hoops gave it their best effort against Duke, just couldn't get it done.
No, and it doesn't help when you let a guy go 7-for-8 from the three-point line in the first half. Jared McCain, just a phenomenal game, 35 points. I think all of Duke outside of him scored less than 40. Yeah, just frustrating because you had chances, even late, Florida State had chances there. It's just hard to see any type of postseason invitation for Florida State this season in basketball. We'll see what happens moving forward. You know, obviously, Florida State had a four-star recruit in town for the Duke game and said he really loved meeting with Coach Ham, but will Coach Ham be here? I don't know. You know, but we'll probably, you know, regroup it and assess that conversation after the season. But, you know, again, a New York tied with Virginia Tech Tuesday night at halftime, a game you really could have won. It's just a disappointing season for the Florida State basketball team after a promising January. But, you know, it's funny. I think they're in eighth place in the ACC at 13-11 total record. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, man, just disappointing season. And, you know, maybe you get to sweep against Miami, and that's kind of what we have to play for now.
Speaking of, the women did that on Sunday. Florida State moves to 7-0 against the Canes. That's 2-0 in volleyball, 2-0 in women's hoops, 1-0 in soccer, 1-0 in football, 1-0 in men's hoops. Unconquered against the U this year. Richie, any shout-outs?
Yeah, TJ, shout-out our listeners. Share your tweet from today.
Oh, boy. I don't know if I can get it.
You don't have to pull it up, but you can just.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, yeah, you know, long story short, we hit 5 million views, which is crazy here on YouTube. So if you're listening to the podcast, even if you're not going to watch, just go over to the YouTube and hit the subscribe button. Help us out a little bit. What's cool is we didn't really focus on YouTube a lot for the first little bit. But when we started focusing here and doing extra content and doing more and more, our first million took 2.5 years. The second million took 4.5 months. The third million took 2.5 months. The fourth million took just under 2 months. And then the fifth million took 1 day less than the fourth million took. So it literally was 1 day less. Like, it happened on the 16th, and the fourth million happened on like the 17th of the 2 months prior. So 5 million is nuts. You know, when you add all those up, 4.5, 2.5, that's obviously 7. And then 2 months twice is 11 months. It took us 2.5 years to get to our first million, and then 11 months to do 4 more million. So that doesn't happen without you guys. It doesn't happen without you crazy people in the comments hitting every single time we put a video up, whether it's a dud or not, like that NCAA video that I did the other day. But you guys are awesome, and we appreciate it. It's a lot of fun to do this, and so thank you guys for all the support. I don't have any other shout outs. That's all. Yeah. Shout out to the fans. So, we'll be back next Sunday, back to our regularly scheduled time. I don't think there's anything going on next week. So I think we'll be back next Sunday, kind of regular scheduled time. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for watching. Make sure that you are subscribed as we get out of here. Hit the like button, hit the comments. When we're done, if you rewatch this, let us know. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll talk to you soon. Go Noles.